The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are Living by the Word Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to one cause. That cause is the truth given in the Holy Bible, which we believe is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, conferred to man to live by. We let the Word of God be the final authority as to what is or is not true. We strongly feel that if we do not expose false doctrine, we only encourage it. This ministry is designed to challenge you from an apologetic point of view. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is Michael Tinsley. Please stay tuned while we arm you, the believer, to keep living by the Word. It's the noble thing to do.
Yes, it is a noble thing to do. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Bible Information Brokers. My name is Eric Stanton, and I will be taking your phone calls this evening. Daryl Fulton. I'm talking to Daryl Easy Default. And I want to do something a little bit differently here tonight, if you do it just from the beginning.
Absolutely.
I was speaking to a friend of mine at church this evening, and she was really down, and she was asking if we could pray for her on the air. And the prayer request she had, I was thinking that there might be a lot of other people out there who are going through similar situations where you just feel like the weight of the world is on your shoulder. Your health is not well. You're in a situation, maybe a living situation or something that's just, you know, really just weighing heavily upon you. And I just, if you don't mind, I just want to pray for my friend Bernice and for anybody else that may need similar prayer.
Eric, could you do that, please? And also, you know, open up the broadcast with that extension of that prayer, if you don't mind, sir.
The extension of the prayer?
Yeah, like, you know, just however you felt led to lead prayer about that.
If you don't mind, I'll pray right now.
Please, thank you, sir.
Heavenly Father, just thank you for the opportunity that we have here with this radio broadcast and just the fact that we are able to broadcast out to the air to maybe reach somebody that has no way to actually reaching out and asking for prayer, asking for help. And like I said, particularly with my friend Bernice or anybody else that feels like just the weight of the world is on their shoulder. Mm. We know that you, Father, ultimately are the one who can bring healing, can bring health, wealth, love, whatever they need to just take your big loving arms and wrap them around them and just give them the comfort, the rest to endure whatever hardships they're going through. I don't know personally what they're going through, but you do, Lord. And you're ultimately the one that can handle these things more than any of us can, Father. And I pray for this broadcast. I pray for all those out there listening that are in need, Father, and just to help get them through these days in your love and grace. And I ask this in Jesus' holy name.
Amen. Eric, I thank you very much for that, brother. And because you did that, I'll go ahead and do some of your stuff as you're preparing to receive the phone calls from the people who can start dialing Eric right now. He's prayerfully, he is ready to receive your phone call at 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552 is the number. Or as he says, 888-995-KKLA may be an easy way to remember it. Also, you can contact us with the questions that you may have, this being a question-answer format broadcast, through other four other methods right now. That's through Facebook, through our .com website, with the emails, also tweeting us a question or even messengering us a question. So that's Facebook, email, tweet, or messenger. All of them have one address, and that's Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers is the address for the appropriate platform that we have so you can be able to get your questions asked and answered. So we appreciate you taking advantage of those platforms right now. Again, Facebook, email, tweet, or messenger, BibleInfoBookers.com. And while you're on our website, go ahead and navigate through there. And, you know, we're always open to comments through the emails. But, again, send your questions first. And then if you have any comments or anything like that, you can make comments on the Facebook page. Any of these social media status we have, we love to hear the comments, good, bad, and different. We don't have thin skin, as they say, so we're always open to your comments and questions in particular for the broadcast. So call Eric right now. He has those open lines at 888-995-5552, or Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email, tweet, or messenger. Now, you heard Eric. You heard me. My name is Daryl E.Z.D. Fulton. We have Ozzy taking care of all the engineering stuff that makes sure the show goes seamless. We appreciate you, Big Oz. And we're going to bring together our other teammate. That's Professor Craig Hawkins, who I will affectionately call PCH until the day the Lord brings me home. Now, PCH is with us telephonically. So, PCH, telephonically speaking, how be you? On this Palm Sunday, I should say.
I'm doing well.
Are you okay? I mean, everything's okay. You sound like you were either laughing or choking a little bit. You okay? You didn't get choked up because of me introducing you, did you?
just a little. Just a little bit.
All right, PCH. Well, look, I'm going to throw it to you on this Palm Sunday. Can you give us a synopsis, a bridge version on what is Palm Sunday and how does it kind of come into play with Palm Sunday, Passover, and what holidays, like from the Jewish perspective, because Christianity is Jewish, came out of Judaism, and also anything that connects during this time before the Resurrection Sunday, which people call Easter Sunday coming up next week?
Well, I don't call it Easter.
Yes.
I call it Resurrection Sunday.
Amen.
Long history about that there. But, yeah, Palm Sunday is, we often refer to it as the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. It's when the people, it seemed like they were going to acknowledge him, accept him as king. I mean, Christ comes in, he's riding on a colt. It's never been ridden on before, and the people are saying Hosanna, which is glory to God in the highest, right? And they're praising God, and they're accepting Christ, it looks like. Of course, the same crowd seems to be so fickle the next week or wanting him crucified, but at any rate, and the palm branches were putting down a sign of royalty. And if you will, that's kind of their ticker tape parade, if you will. So that's what Palm Sunday is. It's the Sunday, of course, before Resurrection Sunday. And again, it commemorates Christ, as we call it, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And again, he was very well received that day, but then barely a week later, right?
Wow. It's kind of short-lived Hosanna, huh?
Well, I mean, it's a tribute to human nature and the fickleness of people and sinfulness. One minute they're praising God, and the next minute they're taking his name in vain. I think of, and perhaps it's a little different, but I think a lot of these award shows, you always hear people often, oh, praise, thank God, thank Jesus, and the next minute you're using his name as a cuss word. And you're like, how does one move from such a honorific use of it to, well, perhaps it's just flippant, but then to taking God's name in vain and living a lifestyle that's completely antithetical to historic Orthodox Christianity. Anyway, so
go ahead, PJ.
Yeah.
Let me say this. When you said that, I mean, tell you, my mind just raced to the time when I don't even know what year it was, and someone won a major award. And I think they were thanking God for it. And then all of a sudden, the major award was like a record of the year or something, where it calls, I would just say it, they said it was hard out here for a pimp. And so, with thanking God, and all of a sudden, it's tough out here for a pimp. I'm going like, interesting, the world we live in. So I think that kind of hits it on the head what you were talking about there.
Well, it really is. People are so flippant, and so many people claim to know Christ, claim to know God. And here I think of Matthew 7, verses 20, 21, and following, where these religious people, ostensibly or allegedly so, religious, and Jesus says, and they did these things allegedly in God's name, and perhaps they really thought they were doing it for God in his name, but Jesus says, I don't know you. And by that he means I have no relationship. You're claiming me, but I'm not claiming you. And it should be a moment of sobriety of soberness of, wow, what am I doing? Does God really accept this? Am I really serving God, or am I serving myself? And people have all these false notions of what love is and what God accepts and, you know, what's appropriate in that. And God loves everybody, and I'm here to tell you something a little different, and at least I'll make this distinction, love versus approval. Perhaps we could argue that God loves everybody, but he doesn't approve of what they're doing. And we live in a world that can't seem – that conflates those two, that can't keep those two separate, that God can and Christians should really care about everyone and be respectful and civil and dignified and treat with dignity everyone. But it doesn't mean we approve of what we're doing. It doesn't mean we have to be quiet and say, well, it's okay, or I can't say anything. When you live a moral lifestyle – and, you know, you're sinning, just the normal, the way you roll. I mean, the Christian speaking the truth in love is to call people out. And people think that's unloving, but then so be it. God himself models that. The idea of God's love. Well, he's also he's holy. He's a consuming fire. He's a blast furnace. He is righteous, and he does not tolerate sin. And again, we want to mix the two. Oh, he loves me, and I can do whatever I want, and he's okay with it. Mm. No, he's not okay with our sin and the stuff that we do. And then try to, not only do we do it, then we try to blame God. Like, it's his fault he made me do it. He's okay with it. It's like, no, he's not.
Well, I mean, come on. If our father, if Adam and, well, since Adam indeed, I believe, was the original man, we're just doing what our daddy did back in the garden. He blamed God for making the woman on what he did wrong, you know, so it's nothing new. And I think we said a few weeks ago that you mentioned about how, and I took this to somebody and I put it to the test. You talked about how people will take and rationalize their behavior. Mm-hmm. And then you even said this, and it really struck me and it hit me. It kept resounding in my head. And that's why it's almost like, do you want to stay willfully ignorant? Because PCH said that in the more intelligent you are, the more information you have, now you didn't use the word slick, but you said the more sophisticated, I believe it is, yes, with your rationalizations. And that was a mouthful, bro. So I want you to know that I'd be thinking about you during the week when you make those profound statements and when we say things like, you know, telephonically, radiophonically, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, there you go. And then we just use some big fancy words like that. There's what's called a fallacy blinded by science, and it's when you use highfalutin sounding words, mm-hmm, at least, whether or not I have, sometimes I have students try to use words, big words, and they don't even use them properly. I'm like, if you don't understand it, don't use it. But at any rate, so we I mean, look at this. I mean, pedophilia, sex with children, which is deviant, which is wrong, is a sin, an egregious sin. The world tries to justify it and says, well, it's really MAPS. It's just minorly attracted persons. And we give it a nice name, and we relabel it, and we think that that somehow makes it okay. So euphemisms, we have these lovely words that are euphemistic, that they sound nice to describe things that are horrific.
Yeah.
And we are masters of that, especially here in America.
Indeed, indeed. I mean, I guess to the point degree that we don't have things like food to be worried about most of the time for the most people, for the most sake, the poverty line, when I was reading about the poverty line, how much it is out here, that's better than like a 90, it's better than about almost 90% of the people in the world are poverty lining is at, which includes a cell phone and things like that. So I'm telling you, man, the more that people have, the less they have to depend on God, it seems like it. And then when things start getting tough on the other aspects of their life, what we call tough, then I'm glad God is available for us to cry out to him. And he's not one of those, you know, beings that would just say, oh, no, well, hey, you didn't call me when things were going well, so what's up?
That's so true. And I know affluenza, and we have all these first world problems. In fact, it's early, but I do want to mention this. I have the opportunity that because we only have so many my JD students going, I'm going to be running a class going to Cambodia, mm, and perhaps Thailand as well, but Cambodia, that's going to be May 25th through June 2nd, May 25th, June 2nd, 9 days. But with human rights, dealing with prostitution, yeah, human trafficking children, little girls and little boys. But Daryl, to your point, you see this incredible poverty. I mean, like, it's mind-boggling. Not that there aren't people poor here on the streets, but there it just goes and goes and goes and goes. I remember the first couple times I was in India, and you expect poverty, but you go like a mile or two and just you know, shanties and people living homeless and that, and you think, oh, okay, I've seen it all now, and then it starts up again, and then it starts up again, and then it starts up again, and just the dire needs and the poverty, but in particular dealing with human trafficking and seeing what goes on, and that's the bad news. Girls as young as 5 years old trafficked, literally, and not by necessarily some pimp or the pimp's their mom.
Mm, yeah.
Mom and dad, they prostitute them out for various reasons, but we'll be dealing with that. And fortunately, we'll be meeting and dealing with a lot of NGOs, non-government organizations. The vast majority of them are committed Christians who are making a difference. And I just want to quickly say, if somebody's interested, I've got room for about five people. If you're interested, it's a class we're running to Cambodia. It is $1,500, but that includes your lodging and ground travel inside of Cambodia. So the hotel, and it's generally a four-star hotel, because hotels are much cheaper yeah. there than they are here. But still, quickly, it's a four-star hotel, you know, basically eight days, nine together, but I mean eight days of staying over, and for $1,500. And if somebody's interested in that, they can contact me at C. Hawkins, my initial C as in Craig, Hawkins at TIU.edu. C. Hawkins at TIU.edu. That's Trinity Law School. So C. Hawkins at TIU.edu. And you can find out about it. You need to know fairly quickly, but
What dates are going to be great?
Yeah, was the 25th. It actually starts. You got to be there by the 25th of May, mm-hmm. and it goes to June 2nd. And again, if people are interested, I've got room for about five. If they want to go, you will see firsthand what's going on with human trafficking, with little boys and little girls. But then also the people who are making a difference and how we can make a difference. And that's why I take students over there and expose them to that. And the thing I hear every time, people are never the same, Daryl. They go there and they know about it. But when you see it,
yes.
you go, wow, I just you're in shock when you actually see what goes on. And
what an excellent opportunity. We're going to put that on our website, our Facebook, and we're going to make that information available, and preferably someone to take advantage of it.
But boy, talk about first world problems. You know, I remember coming into to Phnom Penh many times. You know, you've been flying and you come in late at night, 12, 1, 2 in the morning. And you're in major thoroughfares and these kids out there selling flowers and stuff. Cars whizzing by in 50, 60 miles an hour, and these little kids, and you're like, what are they doing out here? You know, why did the police allow it? Well, because mommy's working, euphemistically. And so they're out trying to earn some money for whatever, for survival. And it just breaks your heart. But again, don't just have your heart broken. Let's make a difference. That's what it's all about.
Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the ways we can make a difference in this broadcast is you'd be calling in, like Bobby is, Ricky. We're going to get to you and Bobby in a moment. I also had a question from last week with Stephen R. I want to deal with PCH. But I'm going to go to is dealing with Joel 2 and the prophecies and things like that in Acts 2. So that may take a little bit of time. So what I'm going to do is try to get these couple of calls in. Then we go to Stephen R.'s question from last week, and then we'll proceed on. Let's bring up Bobby from Carson. Let me see if that's my buddy, the retired young man who's I'm trying to teach him about how to be retired. Is that Bobby from Carson, who I know and love?
Thank you for that comment, calling me a young man.
Anybody got a few years younger than me, I try to, you know, make you guys feel good.
Good evening, and God bless you all.
Thank you, brother.
Tonight.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Craig, I have a question with regards to mining a little bit of your infinite resource library in your brain of a writer, an author, or a book that I could share with new Christians regarding trying to understand Revelation a little bit better. You know, because it's so very confusing as to this part and this year's and then this number and then these are saved and these are not and this goes there and that goes this. Any suggestions?
Bobby, can I ask you a quick question about that? What level of understanding, or Craig, does that make a difference when it comes down to the book of Revelations? Do they have?
Well, I'm looking for, like, young adults that I'm hoping to work with.
Okay.
And can share this with, you know, use it as a teaching guide.
Yeah, Revelation is a tough one, and but I have two books in mind, Bobby. By the way, it's certainly not infinite, but resources. But by God's grace, yeah, I joke, you know, my house has got books. they're everywhere. Not just my personal library, but Newell, N-E-W-E-L-L, Newell's Romans too. Revelation verse by verse. Newell on Revelation verse by verse. I think that's a very accessible and very clear commentary on Revelation. So I would recommend that. Also, R. Kent Hughes, R is just the initial, Kent, K-E-N-T, Hughes. He has done a phenomenal job, and he has a commentary series. I don't know if it's an official title to it, I can't remember, but R. Kent Hughes is the editor of a really good series of commentaries, and I believe they have one on Revelation as well. And it's really practical and really accessible. And that's why I'm mentioning those two in light of what you said, because Revelation is difficult. I think of John Calvin, who said he didn't understand it. And someone as bright as Calvin had trouble, well, then I feel better than if we say we struggle with it as well. But R. Kent
Hughes. Can you hear that first one again, please?
Newell, N-E-W-E-L-L, Revelation verse by verse. I really recommend that.
Okay.
I think he does a really good job, and again, looking for clarity, particularly for a younger believer who's struggling with that stuff. And it's nice, and then some of these books, they really help you even just people get their feet okay. wet with even methods of interpretation, because there's like four or five major ways of even looking at the book of Revelation, right? There is, in any order, there's what's called the historicist, which says basically these are like seven epochs or ages or eons, seven eras, I should say. And so these are historical eras successively. So Philadelphia versus Ephesus, you know, what have you, the seven churches mentioned in Revelation 2 and 3. So that's the historicist view. There's also what's called the preterist, which would say that some would say all, but most preterists would say most of the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled. So that's a preterist. There's the idealist or symbolic view, which is basically that, you know, it's literal truth here, but this is pretty much symbolic, all these things. Don't look for a literal this or that or what have you, a millennial kingdom or even a seven-year tribulation period. These are all symbolic of overarching the whole book of Revelation. That would be a third approach. And then there is what's called the futurist, which is what I hold to, that the bulk, not all, but the bulk of it is still to be fulfilled. And so, again, whether one holds a futurist, preterist, historicist, or symbolic or idealist interpretation, these are major ways of looking at. And that's one of the things that's helpful in hermeneutics, the science and art of interpretation, is helping people get a bigger picture. But again, for practicality, accessibility, I think it's hard to do better than R. Kent Hughes' series on Revelation, and as well Newell, Revelation verse by verse.
Perfect. Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby.
And my question for the evening, during this week I had gotten a text from someone that said, and I'd like your reaction to it, that without Palm Sunday, we would have no Good Friday.
Well, I guess in one sense I'm going to say yes and no. Well, of course, Christ had to enter Jerusalem, but did he really have to do it that way? I think it's more prophetic. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. I don't know that it had to be that he had to come in that way, except for it's prophesied in the Old Testament that he would enter Jerusalem that way. But, I mean, other than that, I'd say other than fulfilling prophecy, no, the really only thing, he had to be in Jerusalem, because that's where he's going to be, was rejected and,
right.
and, you know, and crucified. So I'm a little leery when someone says, it's not that there's nothing this way. It's like when someone uses the word always. Always is almost always admitting of exceptions. And so when someone says never or it had to be this way, that's called what we call modal logic. It's necessitated. It has to be this way. And it's not just that it was or it is this way, but it has to be. And that's a whole another level of a type of claim. And I'm just leery of those type of statements.
My wife uses that logic. You always leave your socks on the floor. You always...
Well, Bobby, when it's true, I mean, it's okay to say it when it's true, bro. Come on now. Tell Gene she's right. Hey, brother, appreciate your phone call as usual,
hey,
man.
Listen, guys, God bless you, and I really appreciate you. And easy, I'll be back in touch with you very soon.
Appreciate
Take
that.
Thank
Look
you
forward
for
to talking with
Thank
you.
Thank you, Professor.
Thanks, Bobby.
Bye now.
All right. Hey, Rick, I'm glad you're calling back in. I see you're coming back on the line. Joy, hang in there as well. But you can also join us, listening audience, the teammates out there, I call listening audience, at 888-995-5552, 888-995-KKLA is the number. Our Facebook, email, tweet, or messenger all is the same address of Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers. Send us your questions by those platforms, and we'll get to as many as we can and answer them from a biblical perspective. PCH, let's deal with this Joel 2:28-32. And the question is this. Was in reading Joel 2:28-32, will there be a much greater fulfillment of these scriptures immediately prior to Jesus' return than that which occurred in Acts 2. So do you think we need to read some of those verses, or do you want to just take it from there and kind of...
Well, no, I know what they are, but we should read them because we have people going, what are they doing?
All right, I'll read Joel 2:28-32, and I'll use the English Standard Version. It says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." The last verse, 32, says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be those who escape, as the Lord has said. And among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls." And then we have Acts 2. What in particular is Acts 2? I'm bringing it up, but I'm just want to know from the standpoint of
Pentecost, the pouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, exactly. That day happened. So the question again, you got the question, right? Just kind of repeat the question if you don't mind, for the continuity's sake.
Well, the idea of will it be greater, this outpouring mentioned in Joel, basically 2:28-32, through the last verse of the chapter, will that be greater than that of Acts 2? And this is kind of an example of a question we were just talking about with Bobby, that it could be, but I can't say it is or necessarily will be. I mean, for the first one, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the church is the start of the church. Church, I would argue, what we call the church age, church era. I'm going to argue that. And so it is, what's the word I want? Something just commemorative. It's a kickoff when you have it's like an open house or a grand opening, if you will. Of the church, and so there's I'm struggling with vocabulary here, but I mean, you know, a lot of noise and not in a bad sense. I mean, a lot of fanfare and whatnot.
Positive bells and whistles and things going on at that time.
Yeah, and don't mean it in a bad sense at all. So, and rightly so, because you have the resurrection of Christ and you have the beginning of the church. But now, of course, this I would argue is toward the second coming of Christ, and that certainly is very important as well, because the world's gone to hell in a handbasket. There's all these plagues and incredible judgments and suffering, and yet the coming King, the second coming of Christ, is right around the corner. So I don't know that it would be more, but I won't be surprised if it's just every bit as much, because while the first one celebrated the beginning of the church and Christ's ascension to heaven, if you will, This one celebrates his returning to Earth and beginning, which I believe in, a thousand-year millennial kingdom reign by Christ. And even if that wasn't true, if, I'm not an all-millennialist or what's called a post-millennialist, with all due respect, but even if I was, it is still the second coming of Christ, so I don't doubt it's going to be incredible. I think there will be all kinds of signs and wonders, not in some vineyard sense and some of the weird stuff that goes on today, but in a legitimate sense that can be verified. Why? Because it is the attestation. It is the kind of like John the Baptist. He is being a forerunner of Christ on the first coming and announcing the soon imminent return of Christ. But I can't say it's going to be more than. I can't say it's going to be less than. I would argue none of us knows. I'm looking at them to be approximately the same, and both of that is really incredible.
Well, let me just expand it just a half a second. So I'm looking at the greater than. Could it be greater than in the number of things or events that happen like that? I don't know how many happen at that time. I don't know how many is going to be all these visions and things going to be saying. But as far as the moon and all that stuff, that's literal darkness, right? So it's not going to be, they call it the great and awesome day of the Lord when it comes. And we're talking about that back in Joel as being the return, correct? The second coming.
Yeah, I get your point, but I would argue we don't know. And
no.
When I'm really just speculating or giving an educated guess, I'm just going to call it that, and I'm just going to say it and then back off, because I'm just going to say none of us knows. Stay tuned. We're all going to find out.
Appreciate it. If anybody got some inside information because of visions and anything like that, I'm not even trying to be funny here. Absolutely, send it to us, and we can always be interesting reading, be very interesting reading. Ladies and gentlemen, 888-995-5552 is the number to call to Mr. Stanton. He'll take your phone call. He will not hang up on you. You can hang up on yourself. Sometimes people do that, but Eric will not let you go. 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552. All the other formats is Bible Info Brokers for Facebook. Matter of fact, if you're on Facebook, make sure you click that button that says share and check in. Put a little emoji there. You don't have to like us if you don't like us, but if you do like us, click that like button. There you go, Craig, for my like signal. I remember Brian used to get on the case. Oh, you want to get somebody to like you? Anyway, you know what to do on that Facebook. And also on our email.com website and on the tweet, our messenger, you can also send comments that way. But questions what we're going to take today for the broadcast. So Facebook, email, tweet, or messenger, Bible Info Brokers is the address. So please take an opportunity to use those formats to get your question in so we can take as many questions as we can. PCH, in the spirit of that, let's go to Rick before we go to a little mini commercial break there. Rick in Riverside, thanks for calling in and holding on.
Hey, guys, usually I call in with a question, but I'm in the middle of a crisis.
Oh,
my mother's has dementia, and I'm just going crazy with this. My car got stolen.
Wow.
Thank God it was recovered because I had low jack, but, you know, that I literally just got hit, you know, by... I think homeless people where I live, like off the freeway, threw rocks at my car, damaged my paint, and I'm just going crazy dealing with my mother because, you know, she had like a couple good weeks, and the last 2 days, it's just been it's pushing my sanity. It's pushing my sanity, and I'm just going crazy because nobody understands what I'm going through. And with my family, you know, and nobody's giving me the help that I need. The doctor that she had, I lost like a whole year trying to get her to a specialist. And I can't get I know she has dementia, but I can't get the correct diagnosis, you know, in order to get assistance from the county, you know. And even with my sister being self-centered and trying to help me, you know, and putting strings on it. And I'm just asking God, I've always been the strong son. I've always tried to do right by my family. And I'm going crazy, guys.
Yeah, man.
I'm going crazy.
Rick, we hear you, man. We hear you loud and clear, Rick, and my heart goes out to you, man. I'm so sorry you're going through this stuff, but those things in life that we're going to go through, I just want to make sure I understand you in regards to the dementia side and the non-diagnosis. If it doesn't get diagnosed and you can't get into those insurances and things like that, I don't know exactly how that works in order, but I remember that when before people get declared I'm going to use the word incompetent to care for themselves. Are you a legal caretaker for your mom, or is she just kind of like living with you because of circumstances?
She's been living with me for the last 10 years, yeah. You know, and she was fine. And, you know, right around the time COVID started, she started like becoming a heavy breather. Mm-hmm. We took her to the doctor. The doctor was like, her lung capacity's down. She needs to see also a cardiologist.
Yeah.
And we had to switch doctors because to somewhere in Riverside in order to get, you know, the referrals locally, not 100 mm-hmm. miles away. And the doctor that she had basically just hamstrung us and would not for almost a year send her to a cardiologist, to, you know, a neurologist. It took her one night getting her, like, losing her balance, hitting her head, had to rush her to the ER. She had a cut above her eyebrow. And I have doctor friends who said, start out with the CT scan, request a CT scan. Yeah. The guy for 3 months would not get me a CT scan. It took her getting into an accident that by the mm-hmm. grace of God, they said, hey, do you want a CT scan just to make sure she doesn't have a concussion?
Okay, and Rick, let me step in here. Rick, let me step in right now so we can honor the time that we have. We're not going to have enough time to give this enough attention that it deserves, man, on this radio broadcast, but we're going to give a best shot. PCH, can you talk to these issues, PCH?
Well, sure, and I want to pray for him, but let me just say a couple things. My mom passed about 7-8 years ago, and she had dementia, Alzheimer's, one or the other, or both. So I really feel for you. And I was going to ask if she was with you. But here's just some advice. Take it or leave it, man. I want to pray for you, brother. But I get it because it's daunting. I would encourage you, number one, to get power of attorney, first and foremost. Before you do anything else, get power of attorney because you don't want her just being a ward of the state. You
yes.
want to have control
yeah.
over where your mom goes yeah. and over legal matters.
Yeah.
And so there you need to have power of attorney. And then when something happens with your mom, an episode, call the county, the authorities, and have a 5150, a mandatory 72 hours for observation. I know it sounds kind of cruel, but that's what you need to do. Then they have to declare her basically incompetent. It's a more of a legal term. I'm not trying to be mean to her. She needs a guardianship. And so, but you want the power of attorney in place first. Then do that. Then they have to diagnose her, and now it forces their hand. Mm-hmm. I get this, and I know I've been through the insurance rigmarole and trying to get her in the facility to give her the care. My wife and I tried to take care of her, and she would slip and fall. And, you know, when I'd be gone, how's my wife going to pick her up? And, you know, all those issues, I get it. Trying to walk out there at the house in the middle of the night, and you name it. I've been there, done that. So understand. But please get the power of attorney, then get the 5150 if you have to get her to get diagnosed for what's going on. And so she can get the help and she needs and you need. And I know sometimes it can sound kind of inhumane, but I mean, what are the options? She's at home and she's not getting the care she needs and you can't handle it. And she needs help. If what you're, you know, she's in the condition, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, and I'm between a rock and a hard place trying to work. So I'm not homeless.
That's the key.
Oh,
you know?
I understand. Yeah, trust me. Yeah, trust me. And then it becomes, when you are home, it's literally 24/7. I could never, at night, I couldn't just trust my mom was in the room. We had to do things to keep her from going out of the house. Literally happened several times. I understand. Let's pray, brother. I want to pray for you because this is difficult. I know it's very taxing. And of course, your love for your mom as well, but it's just the pressure. Father, pray for our brother Rick. Thank you so much for him. And we do pray for his mom. And we pray your best for her and that you give our brother wisdom and how to best help her and whatever course of action that is, but give them wisdom and the course of action to take. And we're praying for her and the best for her. And she'll get the diagnosis and then the treatment she needs and the care she needs that Rick can't possibly do. And I pray he would not labor or squander false guilt that he's not Superman, that he can't take care of her the way she needs to be if she's in the condition we think she is. We just pray for grace and favor for her, but also for our brother, and then all the things he mentioned about his car and all the other stuff going on, just over the top, just too much. that we pray your grace and favor for him and see him through this. Bring alongside him people who can give him counsel, godly counsel, and again, what's best for him and his mom, and that she'll get the care and attention she needs, and give him the peace that you're in control and that he's being a good and loving son by doing this, that he's not forsaking his mom, but he's giving her what she really needs, which is the care that he can't possibly commit to himself. So we pray your best for him and for his mom. And thank you in advance, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, Rick, I just want to overemphasize the fact about that power of attorney, man. Get that yesterday if it's all possible, okay,
yeah,
brother?
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Thank you, guys.
God bless you, man.
Please keep me in your prayers because I'm struggling
we
with
hear you,
my
brother.
Mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm usually the strong one to help other people. And, like, right now I have a friend who's planning a sex trip, you know, to Asia, and I don't have the energy to try and talk them out of it, you know, to do something stupid like that.
Yeah.
And I feel guilt. I feel guilt because I don't have that strength right now. And I just, I'm just losing it to a certain degree.
Hey, don't try to swallow the whole watermelon, brother, but get to prioritize the things that you need to do for your mom and for you, and let all the other stuff be like an appendage, sort of like a side action, and take care of those things. But get a priority on that stuff, especially in regards to that power of attorney, bro, okay?
Yeah.
All right, man.
Okay,
God bless you, Rick. Appreciate you. Peace says those things are always tough like that to deal with those type of things. Christine, we have a question from Facebook. Joy, hold on there for a second. We need to take a little information break here, Craig, and I need you to do that alphabet soup because it is important. And please include what we just talked about as far as Cambodia and those that may want to take that trip. And hopefully we can even get people out there who has the Lord's money that may want to sponsor one or all of the people, all 15 people. You know, they got folks out there that have that kind of money, won't even bother them. It's, you know, like a few dollars for a cup of coffee for people in that level. So, PCH, if you let the people know about what we need as far as giving, and I'll let them know how to execute that that giving. Oh, and let me say this before you get into that. When you mentioned the thing about FFF with Ari, I just want to overemphasize. I had a good talk with Ari, and she wants to thank the listening audience of our radio family, radio team. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys know who you are. You know who you are by the checks that you send and the information you give us, the prayers that's going out for our dear sister, Ari Bryan's widow, I should say. So, PCH, I just wanted to say that before you get in that, then I'll get back into it, get an execution of it.
Sure, thanks, yeah. I'll be honest, because of low enrollment, I've got about 5 openings to take some folks from our radio audience if you're interested in going. It's classed primarily to Cambodia. We will go to Angkor Wat, one of the 7 wonders of the world. But this is really about human trafficking and about seeing how it's combated primarily by Christian ministries. And then seeing what happens, how it goes on, how extensive it is, and how to make a difference. And it is $1,500 as a fee for this class, but that includes your on-the-ground transportation in Cambodia, and as well, it includes basically your 8 nights-ish, if you will, at a 4-star hotel. Now, again, you have to pay for your airfare, but $1,500 flat fee, and then we really give you the tour and show you what's going on. And again, people are making a difference. If you're interested and need to know really quickly this week, really, you can email me at chawkins, C as in Craig, not Greg, but Craig, chawkins@tiu.edu. That's my email at Trinity where I teach. chawkins@tiu.edu, and let me know you're interested in the information. And it'll be from September 25th through June 2nd. Sorry, I said September, May.
Right,
May
right,
25th to June 22nd. Boy, anyways, there you go. Hey, we're a faith-supported broadcast. That is, we are dependent upon the Lord, but his work through people like you. And if you believe in what we're doing, we do need to hear from you. You can give to the general fund, and that pays for things like the overhead, which is we don't have a building, no salaries, but for the radio program time, for the website, webmaster, maintenance, what have you. That's just a general fund. You can give to the FFF, as D Daryl just mentioned, the Faithful Friend Fund. Faithful Friend Fund, in which we do support the widow of our late brother. Of course, late, really, he's not late. He's with the Lord. But Brian Allen, he went home to be with the Lord early in September of last year. It's probably why it's September on my mind, Daryl.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
yeah.
Brian went with me that last trip to Nepal. But
indeed.
At any rate, we believe in helping to take care of his widow, who's just a great gal. And Brian was just a phenomenal brother. And went home to be with the Lord, and we're helping to pay the premium for her insurance to have health insurance. That's a Faithful Friend Fund. Also, the TOT, the Training of Trainers, in June and July, I will be going with a bunch of other leaders. We're going to be going and training missionaries and Christian leaders and pastors in from Nepal, Nepal, India, Burma, Bhutan, Myanmar, those areas, and you can be a part of that. If you can give a percent, I mean, 50% here, 50% there, 25% there, whatever. That's all up to you. But we do ask you stand with us. We are a ministry that attempts to be straight up and as transparent as possible, and where the funds that we get go. Again, no overhead. No salaries really to speak of. Well, there is no salaries. And the overhead is only the radio expenses and that, because we don't have an office building. We are low budget, but that allows us to maximize
Indeed.
The funds you send directly into ministry, like training. A bunch of these guys, missionaries, I'm going to be training from Nepal, and I'll be meeting them in Nepal, but also in India to train them. If you want to be a part of this, the Faithful Friend Fund, the Training of Trainers, TOT, or the BIB, the Bible Info Brokers General Fund, Daryl's going to tell you how you can do that.
I appreciate that, PC. Some kind of way I'm going to get somebody to either make a little commercial for us, or a little witty thing on all those alphabets that we have on giving, alphabet giving type of thing. But anyway, folks, it's very important that you do this. If you're going to send a check or anything to do with writing and sending it into the mail, whether it's through your bank where you can save the actual stamp and fees and don't have to worry about remembering it, just instruct your bank, whether online or call them up and say you want to make a recurring contribution to Living by the Word Ministries. And don't put on their Bible Info Brokers. Put on their Living by the Word Ministries. It'll get to the Bible Info Brokers, because that's what the post office is telling us to do. So we'll make sure that no checks get out there and wherever checks go, that they don't get to where they're supposed to go, just like any other mail. Mail it to LBTW, or Living by the Word, at P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. Now, that information is on our website, but let me give it to you again. Write the checks out, envelopes and everything out to LBTW, P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, zip code 90009. No amount is too big, no amount is too small. Please, if everybody can participate who's listening to The Sound of Our Voices, we really appreciate that. And then share with your Facebook family if they will listen to archive shows or whatever, they hear the same message that you're hearing right now. So please make those checks out, envelopes out, and everything else that's going to be written in to LBTW, or Living by the Word, P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. Now, let me additionally say this. If you're going to do it by email, not email, but on the Facebook, not Facebook page, but the Internet, you can go right to our .com website, Bible Info Brokers. I'm looking at it right now. Right on the .com website, click that icon that says support and donate. And when you do that, it gives you a very simple instructions. You can either give a one-time giving or do what they call subscription or subscribe. And by doing that, you can give on a recurring basis, or recurring basis, I should say. And that way you don't have to remember it. Just set the amount that you want. But again, the same thing applies. No amount is too big, no amount is too small. We really appreciate you giving anything to the ministry, especially if you believe in what we're doing and you want to help and participate. Something Craig just said about the airline going to Cambodia. If you have miles on credit cards and things like that that you don't use, you know, you lose some of those things. I don't know what the rules are to all of them. I just know that people who have miles or points on their credit card can actually donate those to ministries, or donate those directly, or send somebody and get their plane ticket. We would love to hook that situation up. I used to do that for a living, Craig, as they say, when I did go to work at those times, being retired. tired as I was, then that can be done. If you're interested in doing that, sharing your miles or anything like that, please send us a direct email to our Bible Info Brokers and just say, Easy, let's talk about this, how we can get that to the people who may want to go on the trip to Cambodia, pay some of those costs with the points. We can work that out and make that happen as well. Matter of fact, a couple of insurance, not insurance companies, but a couple of credit card companies owe me 200,000 points that we've been fighting for the last 2 or 3 years, Craig, to try to get my points that they took and was supposed to send money to the ministry, but didn't send that money to the ministry. So I'm working with that, and that can happen, but I don't want to be discouraging. I just want to let you know that those points that you have that you may let expire, don't let them expire. I'm going to be looking into some of mine when I get home tomorrow, especially about this trip to Cambodia where people have to get there, and then only $1,500, as Craig said before. And we'll give this information about a little bit on the other side of the broadcast in the next hour, so stay tuned for that, and we want to get that to you as soon as we can. PCH, why don't we do this? Anything else? Did I miss anything?
I don't think so. I think we threw in everything in the kitchen sink.
The kitchen sink as well. Okay, well, let's get back to the phone calls because I see Eric sitting over there twiddling his thumbs. No one's calling him. I don't know why. Joe, we're going to get to you. You're next up. But call Eric right now at 888-995-5552. He's going to queue you up, get you all set up for the other side or the second hour, the other side of the break. So call him now. Get in queue because I know you went to church or you had a Bible study or things happening in life and you want to know from a biblical perspective, what does the Bible possibly say about this if it says anything about the things that you're going through, the things you have questions about, the curiosities? Some people have asked you a question. You got this woke society we're living in. We got all kind of things happening in the world where please take advantage of the limited time we have to answer your questions from a biblical perspective. Does the Bible Information Brokers call 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. Everything else is Bible Info Brokers as far as the address, Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email, tweet, or messenger. PCH, let's bring our good friend Joy up, and then we have some other business to take care of when we deal with Joy's question. Joy, thanks for holding on and calling in.
And thank you both very much. God bless you. I agree with your prayer, Professor, for the man with his mother that has dementia as well. Well, I have a question that just on my way coming home tonight, at the grocery store, a wonderful opportunity to talk to somebody that worked there. They asked them about the bananas, and then I invited them to church and gave them a track and blah, 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 and we got on all these questions. And the last one was, and I did the best I could, the last one he says, well, what happened before the Bible was written down? You know, we talked about the Old Testament, how did they, before Jesus came, what did they do? And I explained, and then, well, what did they do before the Bible was written down, the witness that God had? And I said, well, God always had a witness, you know. But anyway, could you give me something more detailed, specifics?
Well,
and I said,
sure.
Moses wrote the first five books.
Sure.
Yeah, what happened before he wrote them? Thank you.
Well, yeah, the big thing is, of course, is the Bible. And that's, other than Jesus himself, that's a definitive form of what we call special revelation. Second to only to Jesus is the Bible, Old and New Testament. But like you said, what do they do before the Old and New Testament? Well, there's two main ways, among others. I mean, God still spoke to some people directly. Now, by directly, I mean through dreams and visions and things of that nature. So that's number one. I mean, we look at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and look how many times God appeared to them and spoke, communicated. I really want to use the word communicate because it may not be literally an audible voice, but he communicated with them, and they knew it was God. So there still were forms of special revelation where God directly communicated to people. And again, we see numerous examples of that in the Bible. And again, I'm talking about before the Bible, right? But these are events that were, some of them written down are events that happened before the Bible was written down, but it's still now in the Bible. So hopefully that's not too confusing. That's number one.
But one thing, Professor, just interrupt. So those numerous revelations, though, did they explain, like, how someone could be saved, how someone could be forgiven of their sins, or...
Well, I'm going to come back to that, Joy. If you just give me a moment there. That's a great question.
Thanks.
The second, but the second way God spoke to people and to everybody is called general revelation, and that is Psalm 19 and think you're saying Revelation. I think of the commentary earlier. Romans 1 and 2 and 3, God will speak to people through human nature, through conscience, through what Calvin called the sensus divinitas, a fancy way of Latin of just saying that everybody knows God's intuitively, they're hardwired that there is a God. In fact, they know there's a God and that we're in trouble, we're alienated from him. And that's called general revelation because everybody gets that. Everybody has that, not just religious people or something like that. So general revelation, two forms, two are subjective and two are objective. Orders of creation will be one of them, and then creation itself are the objective.
The first one, Professor, real quick?
Called orders of creation.
Order.
And by that, we mean things that God has instituted to bring order and sanity to the world, and they would include, in any order, the church, the family, and government. And so God speaks that he brings stability. These things can be abused like any good thing, but when they're done properly, they are a blessing to humanity. And then the other one is creation itself. That is, creation itself speaks of a creator. Again, passages like Psalm 19 and Romans chapters 1 and 2 in particular. And then internally, the two internal are conscience. People have a conscience. They know that certain things are right and certain things are wrong, whether or not they ever heard the Ten Commandments. And that's Paul's point in Romans 2. Even those who said, I've never heard the Ten Commandments, it was still written ex corde, we say in Latin, on the heart. They still knew intuitively that certain things are right and certain things are wrong. Okay?
PCS, we have about 45 seconds, brother.
Yeah, sensus divinitas. So that is the sense of the divine. So that's general revelation given to all people, then special revelation. But you asked about, but what about salvation? But if you hold on, Lord willing, after the break, we will finish that up.
Indeed, that's a really good place to stop there because salvation is indeed what we're all about and what we give the message every day. So that'd be a good segue after we finish with Joy's question, PCH, to chime right into the gospel message,
Thank you, Darryl. That's what it's all about.
See, when I tee him up, man, you're going to be a great golfer, man. I think you're going to be a great golfer when you finally let me take you out there because the way I tee him up and the way you just knock him out the park, I know that's T-ball baseball, but you are a good baseball player already. But let me do this. Forget all that stuff about you and me. Let's get to the number, 888-995-5552 is the number, 888-995-5552, or Bible Info Brokers for your Facebook, email, tweet, or messenger questions. Let's get those questions in queue so that we can have a seamless show, and, you know, that way we can come back to you and say, listen, we need more time. Maybe we can get more time. But according to that music, PCH, that's telling me, honestly, it's telling me easy. It's almost commercial time. So again, 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. We're going to be talking about the rapture on the other side. We're going to be dealing with demon oppression and things like that. So you call in with your questions. We'll get them from a biblical perspective. 888-995-5552. Be back after these messages.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.